This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Anthony Brooks in Washington. Neil Conan is away. Nicole Hollander grew up in a time when getting old looked a particular way. Shapeless dresses, terry cloth slippers, slightly blue hair, and days spent watching soaps and maybe knitting toilet paper covers. But these are not your mother's golden years. The whole experience is beginning to change. More and more of us, more and more women will spend more time being old, men for that matter, as well, and we're determined not to waste a minute of it. Nicole Hollander is figuring out exactly how to do that. Her new book is called Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. She's the creator of the comic strip Sylvia, and she's our guest today. We invite you to join us as well. What are your stories of graceful or not so graceful aging? If 60 is the new 40, when do we just get to be old and relax? Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and you can comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. A little later in the hour, offsets aren't just for carbon anymore. We have an email challenge for you. If you could buy an offset for anything, maybe a donation to a fitness program for skipping a workout, or a contribution to PBS for every hour of reality TV that you watch, if you could offset it, what would it be? And what would you have to do to offset the guilt? Email your ideas now to talk@npr.org. But first, Nicole Hollander, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I love this book. It's funny, and I want to get to some of the funny stuff in it. But there's a serious commentary underlying much of it. Tell us what inspired you to write Tales of Graceful Aging.
Well, you know, I did sort of out of the corner of my eye notice that I was aging. And I had created a cartoon character who would age instead of me.
This is Sylvia.
Yeah, Sylvia. And much to my surprise, I started aging and she remained absolutely the same. I mean, her skin is totally without wrinkles. She looks unblemished. She looks the same as the day that I bore her. So I've been thinking about aging for a very long time. That is, you know, when I first noticed it. And I started writing and sending these thoughts to publishers, and people were incredibly disinterested in aging.
Now, why is that? I mean, you would think everyone would be interested in aging. It's something that's going to happen to all of us, after all.
I think it's like a dirty little secret, you know, that perhaps it won't happen to you. And when the baby boomers age, then no one could deny that we were all going to age and need new ankles and hips.
I'm wondering if I can get you to do a small reading from the book, just to kind of set the tone here at the beginning of the hour. It's on page 18 where you describe the dilemma of modern day aging.
Okay. Okay. 60 is the new 40. Old age doesn't start when we thought it did. Now it's mandatory to become a second wind achiever. Just what I needed, more stress, more pressure. I had my plan set. I was thinking about breaking in a new house dress, a tight perm, and riding the backs of my fluffy house shoes right down until they were backless. I planned to perfect my shuffle from the living room where the TV is to the kitchen and back, with a quick pit stop at my bathroom with metal rails strategically placed. Oh, rats. Now it turns out that we've got a bunch of bonus years. We are not officially old until 85.
Now, isn't that a good thing?
I don't know. I mean, we don't have anyone that showed us the way to do this. It was interesting. I was listening about talking about replacement parts, and someone was saying that when people did aerobics, a kind of exercise, they didn't wear the right shoes. They didn't know that this would come back to haunt them. Of course, I sensed that it would come back to haunt me, so I didn't do any of that.
So when you say there's no roadmap how to do this, I mean, what does that mean in practical terms? What are the kind of issues, the kind of awkward issues that you're encountering and dealing with and that you're obviously dealing with in this book in a big way?
Well, I think that we grew up with the expectation that you would stop doing certain things. And we still hear that in our heads, that you are too old to do this. You're too old to go out dancing. You're too old to wear that skirt above your navel. So we have to make up a new way of being, even though we're getting all sorts of messages that say, don't do that. Just be the way you were. Be a nice grandmother to me, even though you have no grandchildren.
Hmm. So is there some regret? I mean, is there some sort of like, enough already? Let me just kind of be older the way people used to be older.
Well, perhaps a little bit of that, but really I'm enjoying myself.
That's good. Yeah. There's a section in your book, though, where you do talk about, I mean, you talk about two things early on in the book, about all the things you can still do, even though you're getting older. But then there is a section of the book where, you know, you have to face there are certain things you're never going to do. I was just leafing through it and trying to find it. You're not going to be a pilot of an
F-16. That's the bottom. That's the bottom of page 18 and 19.
Just read that a little bit, because that made me laugh.
I am really happy that there's certain things it's too late to do. No one will ever expect me to ride a horse across the desert or swim the English Channel or play Grace Kelly in the movie of her life. Inline skating is closed to me, as is a medical career. I will not ride in a demolition derby or drive a Porsche on the Autobahn. I will not dine on camel tongue, or eat that fish in Japan that gives you a poisonous buzz, or herd cattle, or play the machines in a casino called something like the Delta Queen, and wink at the guy who has just hit the jackpot on the quarter slots, and leave the same night to get married in Las Vegas at the Elvis Chapel, because that is something, he turns out, that both of us have always wanted to do. But this is what I'm really happy about. On the other hand, it's also way too late for me to give birth to someone who will grow up to be a serial killer.
That's Nicole Hollander reading from her book, Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. And we're asking you for your stories of graceful aging, or maybe not so graceful aging, to give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And let's go to Francis, who's calling from Placeville, California. Hi, Francis. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for having me on the air. Well, I regarded getting older as an opportunity because I could retire from being a legal secretary. And I'm 77 now, and at the age of 70, I started a nonprofit organization to help the Tibetan government in exile in India because of the refugee situation there, knowing that the Tibetan government needed help. So I went over to India several times along with some doctors that I know. And we started giving money to the government there on behalf of their home for handicapped children. Also brought over a student, helped bring over a student. The refugee situation isn't great for university study for the Tibetans in India. So she came over, and she's now just gotten her master's degree at Davis University. So et cetera, et cetera. The point is, these are the most wonderful years of my life. I don't think about the fact that I'm old, except when my knees hurt. And as long as I'm mobile, I'll keep doing the things that really excite me and that really have helped other people. I love to hear old people talk about helping others, because our experience is what makes this possible and makes it advantageous for others. If we really have a goal in mind, a purpose in mind, and if our purpose is to help the world, we can do it.
Well, Francis, thanks so much. What a great call. Appreciate
it. You're very welcome.
What do you hear in Francis' statement there, Nicole Hollander? That was nice, positive outlook.
Wonderful.
There.
Incredible. She makes me feel tremendously guilty, like a slacker. But really, she is very wonderful, and I'm so happy that was the first call.
Let me read an email from one of our listeners, Marie in Mesa, Arizona. She writes, I'm almost 60 and I'm freaking out as you speak. I am spending a fortune in cosmetics, Retin A. Anything shy of a surgical facelift is okay with me. And 60 is not the new 40. We're just kidding ourselves. Let your egos go, folks. It's pretty much downhill from here.
Oh, God. See, you now have made me feel like a split personality, because at first I hear this wonderful call about a woman who is not at all talking about what she looks like. She's just so full of energy. and excitement about starting a whole new life, a whole new career. I just don't think this has to be the end. It is really, it's really sad to think that this is the end. And when you hear someone like Frances, then you have to say, it's up to me.
Mm. Yeah, in fact, in your book, there's a section about plastic surgery. You don't come out as a big fan.
No, I was terrified, which is good because it protected me from actually doing it.
Mm. But there is a lot in your book about choosing the way that people age, how people dress, how we live, how we even die. I mean, do you sort of come down on this as a blessing or a curse overall? I mean,
becoming old.
Yeah.
I mean, there's really nothing we can do except, I think, fantasy and being in your head, you know, and having wonderful dreams. But mainly, I think that friendship is what gets us through all of this, that and buying wonderful shoes. So I think there's all sorts of exciting things to do, and I really think you can start a new career late. I was reading about all these self-help books about retirement and how jolly and appealing that is. But the truth is that it is appealing and it can be done.
You mentioned friends and your girlfriends are a constant companion in this book. Are they real or composites? Because they're quite vivid, some of them.
They're real, certainly. And what I would do is take an incident that actually happened when I was with the friends, and then just turn that into a story. The time that I was with a friend in a store, and I was trying on a skirt, and she looked at me and she said, "We're too old to wear skirts." And it was sort of like, that is the final word on the subject, you know.
We're talking. Hang on, Nicole. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back. We're talking with Nicole Hollander. The book is called Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. More on the book in a minute and more from Nicole Hollander. And tell us your stories of graceful or not-so-graceful aging. Call us at 800-989-TALK or send us an email at talk@npr.org. We'll be back in a minute. I'm Anthony Brooks. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Anthony Brooks in Washington. There are a lot of books out there that are full of very popular advice on growing old gracefully. Nicole Hollander's is probably not one of those. The title might say it best. It's called Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. And at our website, you can read her ideas on how to fill your free time with some creative senior citizen activities and think more Bailey's and less shuffleboard. That's an excerpt from her book at npr.org/talk. We also want your stories of graceful or not-so-graceful aging. Give us a call at 800-989-TALK. Our email address is talk@npr.org, and we're happy to have Nicole Hollander with us. And Nicole, I want to go right to a caller because we've got a lot of folks who are dying to get in on this conversation. So let's go to Rita, who's calling from Tulsa. Hi, Rita. You're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to tell you that getting old is not for sissies, I can tell you that. I've been a widow for 5 years after caring for a disabled husband with Parkinson's, and 5 years have now elapsed, and we had a successful business for 35 years, and I decided that I wanted a second career. So
what did you do?
Well, after I turned 79 in August, I signed up with a talent agency.
Good for you.
And I go on photo shoots for commercials. I did some video commercials and whatever I can do. Whenever the talent agency calls me,
well,
I'm there. I am. My middle name is available.
And and Rita, can I ask how your health is at 79?
Oh, at 79, the big problem I have is breaking a few bones along the way. But it hasn't stopped me. It slowed me a little bit, but it hasn't stopped me. I still have a voice, and I still have the energy. And I get bored very easily, so I've got to stay active and busy. And my friends just kind of roll their eyes because they'd prefer to sit and play cards. And frankly, I find it very boring.
Well, I'm with you, Rita. Keep it up. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call.
Sure. Bye.
Nicole, it's often said that, particularly for women, aging lets you stop worrying about all the silly things you worried about in youth. That seems to sort of come out in your book in a funny way. Do you agree with that?
What were those silly things we worried about when we were young? You mean by going out with boys
a certain kind of superficial vanity, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yeah, worrying about did we look exactly like everyone else? Worried about, I find that young girls are somewhat worried about speaking up for themselves and worried that they might be called feminists or something awful like that. So I think that as you grow up, you know more what you think is right and what you think is important in life, and you should have the guts by the time you're a certain age to be able to fight for it.
Well, let's take another call. Let's go to let's go to Lisa, who's calling from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hi, Lisa, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you so much for letting me come on and speak with you all. I am just turned 37 this week, and I expect to live at least another 60 years because everyone in my family lives well into their 90s. And I have some wonderful role models of people who've lived that long. I have a great aunt who lived to be 95 years old and would walk the hills adjacent to her assisted living facility in San Diego, California, much to the chagrin of the staff. So to appease them, she would bring her walker along. There are other family members who would bike all over their small town in Minnesota where they live, because they didn't want to miss lunch because they couldn't drive anymore. So they had these great old bikes, and they would bike from here and there. And I guess I always feel when I look at them that age is a state of mind. And I want to grow old gracefully and have fun and see the world and travel as many of them have.
That sounds like a good goal. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
What do you hear in?
I'm being totally inspired here.
Well, that's great.
I may go out and start riding a bike. I when I was younger, and I would say this through my cartoon character, I thought that I had gotten enough exercise if I went to the mailbox and picked up my mail. And suddenly, at this age, I do Pilates and Tai Chi and swing dancing. And I don't know why in the world I didn't allow that in my life earlier.
Well, you've come to things sort of, you write about this in your book. You've taken your time getting to certain sort of critical moments in your life. I mean, you didn't figure out what you wanted to do professionally until you were 40, correct?
Right. I started my Life Begins at 40. I started Sylvia at 40. I did a book first, and it was published, and then I was approached by a syndicate, and then I was turned down by a syndicate, and then finally did do my strip.
But you took some time to find your career. You wrote that you were torn between helping others and a world in the arts. How did you resolve that?
Well, I actually spoke to someone at a university. I think it was Tufts in Boston, and I said, you know, I'm really torn between wanting to be a social worker and wanting to be an artist. And he said, well, if you combine them, what you can be is an art therapist. And for someone to say that very clearly, I thought, not what I want. The other thing that I wanted was not to stand in front of my canvas. I mean, I was a painter at that time, and just investigate the dark side of my soul. I really wanted to connect with people. I'm more social than that. And so the cartoon really combined, in a way, helping other people and humor and politics and drawing. So for me, it was absolutely perfect and a godsend.
Well, let's go to Nancy, who's calling from Grafton, Wisconsin. Hi, Nancy.
Good afternoon. Well, when I was 14 years old, I lived on a farm, and I was the oldest of six kids. And it was a week before Christmas, and our mom was killed in a car accident. And we had, the youngest one was 3 years old at the time, and I'm 14, and living on a farm 6 miles out of town, nobody's going to come and work, do housekeeping. So I finished my freshman year in high school, and I always wanted to be a nurse, but I stayed home and learned how to bake and cook and clean and sew. And then I got married, and my husband and I had 14 children.
14.
When our youngest child was born, I was 46, and I decided I'm going to go and be a nursing assistant. So I went to classes, and I worked for 14 years in our county nursing home, and I loved my job. And then I retired, but I still do private duty work in nursing homes. And you know, the beautiful thing is I'm younger than all those folks there. And I love them. They love me. And I get so much more than I give. And I like to sing. And we do that at nursing homes. And it's just been a beautiful, beautiful life. And I just think, you know, you're never too old. And as long as you can be happy inside who you are, that way you can spread it around. And it's, you know, it's kind of catching.
Well, Nancy, what a nice call. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Nicole, another call to inspire you. What do you think?
I know. I don't know where you find these people.
Well, we spend all morning digging them up.
This is wonderful.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Pretty well.
Good. Unlike some of your callers, my relatives died very young, and in fact, my parents died when I was only 20 years old. So I haven't had any kind of training, so to speak, as to what I should expect when I get to the age that I'm at. I'm 58 years old, and I feel like I'm 40. So, you know, it's one of those situations where I had nothing to compare what I'm going through in the changes physically and emotionally and mentally, going from 40 to 50 and 50 to 60 now, because I had nothing to gauge what I was going through because my parents died so young.
That's interesting, because it's like the positive part of having absolutely no role models. I was reading about tests that people are given for memory, and that when you're older, and if the doctor says something like, memory, there's a great deal of memory loss with aging, then people do badly. And if they say, it seems that age does not affect memory, then people do very well.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I'll just tell you one quick story.
Please do, Mike.
I'll let you go. The only way that I know that I'm getting older is because I still look at women the way I looked at them when I was 20. They just don't look back at me the same way.
All right.
So you all have a great day.
I feel your pain, Mike. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. Okay, let's take another call. Let's go to Catherine from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Catherine.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
I just actually, it's kind of ironic, the gentleman previously's comment. I'm 45 years old, and I'm going out with a guy that's 32.
Well, good for
and,
you.
And that's just something new. I found a lot of ladies that I know my age group are dating gentlemen in their 30s. And like I tell my children, you know, whatever, if you've got it, flaunt it. And my son always tells me, Mom, you should act your age. And I said, I never intend to act my age. I intend to be young and youthful until the day I die.
All right. Well, Catherine, thanks a lot. Appreciate
Thank
the call. What do you think of the point that Catherine brings up, Nicole?
I think it's fabulous. I was just, you know, see, I'm one caller behind. I'm thinking of telling Mike that he can still look at women, but he should look at them his own age.
Oh, that would help.
You know, that
I
would
hope you're still listening, Mike. There. But what about this issue? In fact, we're going to go to a break shortly. I'd like you to read a little bit. There's a part in your book about sex. This is part of the one-woman show you've been doing, and I want to get you to read it. But let's do that after the break. Tell us, first of all, this issue that our last caller raised, and that is older women with younger men. You have a section in the book about that, I believe.
Do I really?
Am I recalling that incorrectly?
What did I say? I think it's great. I think that she should date, you know, whoever she likes and whoever she has great fun with. I think that it's been said that it's more difficult for women to attract younger men. But here's a woman who's saying, no problem.
No problem at all. We're talking to Nicole Hollander. She's the author of Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or else you can email us your tales of graceful aging at talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Nicole, can I get you to do that reading?
What page are you talking about?
I'm not even sure because I just made a note of it and I didn't write it down. There's the section about sex.
Return to lust?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And which part of it?
Whatever part you think will strike a chord with our listeners.
Okay.
And remember, this is a family program.
Hmm. I can say sex, though.
All set?
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
I'm getting myself in the mood by listening to songs from James Bond. Nobody does it better. Makes me feel sad for the rest. Nobody does it half as good as you, baby. Baby, you're the best. Okay, I am now so stoked I can hardly walk. I calculated that I hadn't had sex for 10 years. Turns out that it's been 14. I know that because I called Dominic long distance, the last man I had sex with. I ask him, when's the last time I had sex? He's not surprised by my call. We were together from 1980 to 1989, so it's been 14 years. 14 years? Are you sure? I can't believe it. I call someone who's my age, and I'm sure has been having sex. Carol, I say, you're postmenopausal. Got any tips for me? Because I'm going to be having sex in the next 10 days. Carol says, you think I'm having sex? You must be nuts. I'm not having sex. But let me get a cigarette, because if you're having sex, I want to hear all about it.
That's Nicole Hollander reading from her book, Tales of Graceful Aging from the Planet Denial. And let's try and get one more call in. Wayne is calling from Boulder, Colorado. Hi, Wayne.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Thank you. I'm disconcerted by the fact that there is a disregard for the wisdom that comes with age and the growing infatuation with youthfulness. That we are expected. I'm nearly 60. I've just gone back to school. I'm, the oldest person in my class by many decades. But I'm saddened by this constant dumbing down, I think, of age to sex, frankly.
Hmm. Well, Wayne, thanks for the call. Let's put that point to Nicole Hollander and get her to respond to it. What do you think of Wayne's idea, saddened by the idea of this infatuation with youth? Do we make too much of it?
Oh, I don't think that anyone can really argue with that. But I do think the culture puts an enormous emphasis on being young. So many people are dyeing their hair. So many people are trying to look younger. I think that it's very difficult to fight against, and I think mainly you really have to ignore it. You really have to have a wonderful, interesting life, and as Wayne says, going back to school. It doesn't matter that he's the oldest one, although really so many people go back to school, as we heard from the callers, that Wayne is not alone.
Hmm. So what's next for you? I mean, you're obviously, you've still got your Sylvia comic strip. You've written several books. Are you going to reinvent yourself again at some point?
I think I have 5 more years in this skin,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm going to reinvent myself. But don't ask me what it is. It'll be a surprise for both of us.
So no ideas at all?
Not yet.
Hmm.
I don't think it's going to involve skydiving, though.
Well, you've had a lot of lives before you started Sylvia, so my guess is you've got at least a few more following this book. That's my
guess.
Thank
you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for joining us, Nicole Hollander. I'm very grateful.
Thank you.
That's Nicole Hollander. Her new book is called Tales of Graceless Aging from the Planet Denial. You can read an excerpt from her book at our website, npr.org/talk.